My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. And joining us from the nation's capital is Sanho Tri of the Institute for Policy Studies. Sanho, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
Can you let the listeners know about the Institute first, and then we can begin talking about the Los Angeles Citizens Fact-Finding Commission on U.S. drug policy that you are helping to facilitate, in fact, the director of that project, as I believe, correct?
Yes.
Talk, if you will, first about the Institute for Policy Studies, and then we'll move to the L.A. Citizens Commission.
Sure. IPS is a 38-year-old progressive think tank in Washington, D.C. We're the only multi-issue progressive policy organization in Washington, and we're the oldest of those. We work on domestic policy, foreign policy, economics, and other peace and social justice issues. And we think that drug policy and the war on drugs is one of the front-burner issues for the progressive community today.
I'd like to just take this opportunity to read a letter from the honorary chairperson regarding the L.A. Fact-Finding Commission. It says, "Dear friends, I'm writing you because you, like me, are among the growing number of people in this country appalled at the impact of the war on drugs, both abroad and at home. I would like to invite your support and participation in a creative and important series of events aimed at building a citizens' movement to change U.S. drug policy. Over the last three decades, the war on drugs has done little more than incarcerate hundreds of thousands of nonviolent prisoners, militarize government agencies and police forces around the world, and generally advance a policy of harm maximization. Just note, for instance, that every 30 seconds, someone in the U.S. is arrested for drug violations. The U.S. has more prisoners than any other country in the world. On average, a new prison is built every week. In California, five African Americans are in prison for every one in a state university. Yet today, more illegal drugs of higher quality and cheaper price are entering the U.S. than when the drug war began in the early 1970s. And as journalists such as Gary Webb revealed, and the CIA and Justice Department's own recently released internal reports admit, the flow of narcotics into the U.S. has been facilitated in part by corrupt government employees and by policies that permitted alliances with drug traffickers for the sake of other foreign policy objectives. The problem of drug abuse and addiction requires a public health and economic development response instead of the current criminal justice paradigm. To help turn the tide of this inhumane and hypocritical drug war, my friends at the Institute for Policy Studies, together with a coalition of concerned Los Angeles citizens, are holding a public hearing on May 22nd and 23rd at the University of Southern California. I invite you to attend the important events detailed here. Although I will not be able to attend, I would especially like to invite you to a fundraising reception to be held at USC's University Religious Center on Saturday, May 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. Let us work together to solve those conditions that create these problems and advance a humane, sustainable, and constitutional alternative that addresses the causes rather than punishes the symptoms. I urge you to support the work of the IPS Drug Policy Project so that we will not lose another generation to addiction and incarceration with peace and goodwill. Harry Belafonte." Harry Belafonte is the honorary chairperson of the Los Angeles Citizens Fact-Finding Commission on U.S. drug policy. We're discussing the director of the project for the Institute for Policy Studies. Sanho Tri is with us to talk about this. Sanho, what are people going to hear about when they come to this event in Los Angeles?
Sure. It's going to be a over a day and a half, Saturday, May 22nd and Sunday, May 23rd. Roughly speaking, it's broken down into three main areas. The first one is, how does the drug industry operate? Who are the users? What are the distribution networks? How does the money flow? Who's involved? Who's profiting from this, and who's paying the price? And that section will be shattering some of the myths about race and class and who's actually using the drugs and who's getting the punishment. And the second part is on government corruption and complicity in the war on drugs. And in that section, we'll have various people, and some of them conservatives, talking about corruption and in the drug war. For instance, we'll have Joseph McNamara, who who was the former police chief of San Jose and Kansas City, who is now at the Hoover Institution. And he'll be talking about the corrupting aspects of the drug war on law enforcement. And he doesn't believe it can be reformed and thinks this is rotten to the core. And he's got a new book coming out called Police Gangsterism. He'll be talking about that. So to have a conservative say that is pretty, you know, it's man bites dog here. We'll also be looking at police misconduct and impact on civil liberties in L.A. We'll also be looking at what the CIA Contra cocaine controversy, what that has amounted to. We'll have Professor Peter Dale Scott from UC Berkeley going over the internal reports by the CIA Inspector General as well as the Department of Justice Inspector General, looking at their own internal documents. This is in the wake of the Gary Webb, San Jose Mercury News controversy. What they did was commission an internal study by the Inspectors General of those two agencies. And there are some shocking admissions buried in the hundreds and hundreds of pages of those reports. And so what he's done is gone through them and pulled out the relevant facts. So we'll be looking at what the government itself has admitted to. And then we'll also have Robert Perry, an investigative journalist who's been covering the story since the mid-1980s and helped break that story in for AP.
Go ahead.
And then Sunday, the final third of it, we'll be dealing with the social impact of drugs and the war on drugs, looking at a historical overview of race and class and gender in U.S. drug control policy, for instance, how immigration and race have always played into drug policy and drug hysteria. We'll also be looking at inequality in prosecution and imprisonment, the rise of the prison lobby, particularly in California, the prison officers union, and looking at alternatives.
We're talking with Sanho Tree of the Institute for Policy Studies. We're talking about the upcoming Los Angeles Citizens Fact-Finding Commission on U.S. drug policy, which will be taking place at USC on May 22nd and 23rd of this year. Sanho, I'd like to go back to kind of flesh out a little bit more of the sort of main topics here, and then before we go, certainly let people know how they can get more information about all of the work that the Institute for Policy Studies is doing, in particular this, but also to talk about some of the people who are going to be the commissioners who are going to be hearing the evidence and looking at the list. Certainly, this is an impressive array of people who will be taking this information and coming forth with a report on it. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about how the drug industry operates and who really is making the money off this. As I understand it, worldwide, we're talking something along the lines of, you know, $11 trillion or more dollars a year business. I mean, this is a huge segment of the world's gross product, if you will. I mean, who really is making the money off of this?
Well, that's a good question. It's very hard to trace this kind of money flow. You have what most people are familiar with is the street-level dealers in their own communities and neighborhoods, and that seems to get a lot of press, as well as occasionally, you know, you'll hear about kingpins and other politicians overseas, that sort of thing. But in between that, there's a huge spectrum of people profiting from this, some of them illicitly and some of them legitimately in terms of money laundering. For instance, you'll have shopping malls, strip malls in parts of town where they don't take credit cards, but they have all kinds of luxury goods and you pay cash for it, and car dealerships and things like that. So it's very hard to get a figure on this. But in terms of the punitive policies, we're punishing the people who are engaging in this because they don't have much of a choice, rather than going after the people, the middle tier and upper tier, who are doing this because they're rich and want to get richer. So both domestically, in terms of inner city neighborhoods where there are few economic alternatives, we're going after the lowest level dealers, of which there's an inexhaustible you know, reserve of people willing to step in those shoes once you arrest the lowest level. And overseas, where you have peasants growing coca and poppy, we're going after them rather than going after the dealers, the kingpins and the distribution networks.
Well, certainly when you have this level of cash flow, I believe, If I am wrong, I'll, you know, make my public apologies. But I believe it was Citicorp Bank was recently, which was, you know, a blip in the news and went away very quickly, that Citicorp Bank was alleged to have been laundering millions of dollars, I believe, for Raul Salinas, brother to the former president of Mexico. I mean, you know, it's ludicrous to think that with this type of cash flow, that this cash is not flowing through major financial institutions here in the U.S. and around the world, of which I think the Citicorp example is just one.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
We're talking with Sanho Tree of the Institute for Policy Studies. We're talking about the upcoming Los Angeles Citizens Fact-Finding Commission on U.S. drug policy. Sanho, you also brought up the issue of government corruption regarding the drug war itself. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. With the growth in the war, so-called war on drugs, we've had all kinds of growth in police forces and SWAT teams and everything else. Even small towns now have their own SWAT teams. And along with that, they get bigger budgets and armored personnel carriers and all this hardware and bureaucracy built up. And those are some serious budgets. If the drug war were to be won or solved or called off, a lot of those folks would be out of a job and their budgets would be slashed. There's also a great deal of room for corruption, you know, personal corruption, given the kinds of money that's involved in terms of cash, in terms of drugs, civil asset forfeiture also, that police departments can seize the property of people convicted of drug crimes, or not even fully convicted. They can charge them.
Talk, if you will, a little bit more about the issue of asset forfeiture, because someone brought that topic up to me last night when we were discussing, you know, all of the topics that are involved in the drug war. I think it's really important to have our listeners hear more about that. Can you talk a little bit more about asset forfeiture?
Sure. There's also a great website.